This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Evan Erickson. U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski says it's time for Congress to assert its authority over the war against Iran.
I do not accept that we should engage in open-ended military action without clear direction or accountability. Congress has a role. Congress has to step up and fulfill that role, that obligation that the Constitution assigns to us.
Murkowski has voted against six Democratic resolutions to immediately end the war. But in a speech on the Senate floor on Thursday, she said she plans to introduce an authorization for the use of military force known as an AUMF. She says it's both an authorization and a limit.
An AUMF recognizes the reality that the U.S. military is already engaged and provide structure and clarity by requiring the administration to define what we're trying to achieve and the means of achieving it. It requires reporting to Congress, and it brings transparency where little has existed over the past 2 months.
Democrats in Congress have been highly critical of the Trump administration's war strategy. A few Republicans have also raised concerns about the cost and what they say is a lack of information from the administration about the goals. Senator Dan Sullivan raised no such concerns at a hearing Thursday with Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth. Sullivan said he supports the administration's record-high budget request for the military.
Mr. Secretary, I mentioned in the classified hearing today, but I do think the $1.5 trillion top line is historic. It meets the needs.
Sullivan praised the administration for requesting money to modernize Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson. He also drew attention to Russian incursions in the north and made a pitch for the Defense Department to lend support to an Alaskan gas pipeline. He asked no questions about the war except to point out that the U.S. did not intentionally target civilians in an airstrike that destroyed a school in Iran. Sullivan did not respond to an interview request or say whether he planned to support Murkowski's Iran war authorization. Governor Mike Dunleavy vetoed a bipartisan election reform bill Thursday afternoon, setting up a contentious override vote in the coming days. Senate Bill 64 proposed a variety of changes to Alaska's election system, especially around absentee voting. The bill would set up a ballot tracking and curing system, which would allow Alaskans to watch their votes move through the counting process and correct minor errors on absentee ballots. Hundreds of ballots with curable issues, especially on military bases and in rural Alaska, were not counted in the 2024 election. The bill would also speed ballot counting. In a letter to legislators, Dunleavy said he supported many of the reforms and even encouraged lawmakers to model future election bills on the one he vetoed. But Dunleavy said the ballot tracking and curing system couldn't be, quote, responsibly built, tested, and deployed before the November general election. Senator Bill Willikowski, an Anchorage Democrat who worked on the bill, says it's tough news.
It's a broken system, and he had an opportunity to fix it. It's a bipartisan measure. We've worked with very conservative members, worked with his office, and disappointing.
Willikowski said earlier this week he expected a joint session to override the veto could be convened within a few days. It's unclear whether the bill has enough support, though. It requires 40 votes. And the bill passed by a combined vote of 39-20 with one member absent. A confidential informant is suing the State Public Safety Department, two Alaska State Troopers, and the A&E Television Network. The woman says the defendants compromised her safety by filming an arrest without her consent. The woman, identified in court filings as Jane Doe, says she received death threats after information she provided led to an arrest that was filmed and later aired on the Alaska State Troopers reality show. The Alaska Beacon reports that the woman's attorney declined to comment on the case and said he plans to file a motion to make the case confidential for her safety. In court filings, her attorney argued that the defendants had a duty to protect her from harm and that they exploited her for profit or personal gain. The television show followed troopers in the Matanuska-Susitna Valley, Fairbanks, Western Alaska, and Valdez in 2025. A&E Television Network aired 9 episodes of the show between January and March 2026. According to a complaint, the woman assisted troopers as a confidential informant in 2025 and was later threatened by a person who suspected her. She assisted troopers for a second time in 2025, and a crew filmed troopers arresting the person who suspected her. The woman told troopers she objected to A&E filming the arrest, and court documents say troopers relayed Doe's objection to the film crew. According to the filing, the crew filmed the arrest anyway. The lawsuit claims the crew filmed the episode in a way that could reveal her identity and involvement. And the case alleges that troopers' negligence and recklessness breached their duty and created danger for the woman. A Department of Public Safety spokesperson told The Beacon that the department rejects any suggestion that DPS personnel would knowingly endanger anyone's life. The online marketplace Etsy plans to ban products made out of fur as well as threatened or endangered animals. While many Alaska Native artists say they do not use the platform, several said they were frustrated with the decision. Alonia Niden with the Alaska Desk has more.
Cheyenne Nelson pulls a pair of earrings from a box stacked with her creations.
So these are otter, and I buy my fur from the scraps of other artists so that nothing goes to waste.
Nelson is Aleut and Tlingit, and is an owner of Iliamna Arts, based in Anchorage. She is a self-taught artist and uses fur from otters, rabbits, lynx, and foxes to make jewelry. She also adds agate, shells, and other natural materials she finds on Alaska beaches. She sells her art to customers from California to Chicago and from Canada to the Netherlands. But this might change. Etsy emailed artists like Nelson in early April to notify them it will ban fur products starting August 11 as part of their ongoing biodiversity efforts.
I just like stopped dead in my tracks because it was like the worst case scenario. To have that taken away is such a bummer because I really liked being able to have my art reach people that in no other way it would have reached.
The new Etsy policy says it will apply to fur from animals killed primarily for their pelts, like mink, fox, and rabbit. It says the ban will also pertain to products made from whales, seals, bears, and other threatened and endangered species. The policy says the goal is to protect wildlife from extinction and conserve animals that are most vulnerable. However, it was not clear how the company would establish that animals were killed for fur and not for sustenance, as is often the case for Alaska Native people. There don't appear to be exceptions for indigenous artists whose rights to harvest animals and create traditional crafts are often protected by federal law. Etsy did not respond to emailed questions for this story. Many Alaska Native artists contacted for the story said they don't use Etsy to sell their creations. But Nelson and several others say the new policy will disproportionately harm indigenous artists.
You've ostracized the entire indigenous population that wants to share their art through Etsy.
Nelson says that if Etsy rolled out the policy with meaningful exceptions for indigenous artists, she would have more respect for the decision. She's not sure she wants to continue doing business through Etsy, even though it's a well-established platform that would be hard to compete with. Jamie Newhawk Stallings is Yupik and Athabascan, who now lives in Idaho. She owns a store she named after herself.
Newhawk, it means beauty of the sunset.
Stallings makes earrings, cuspooks, and other clothing using fur and feathers from her family's hunts, like ducks, beavers, and rabbits. Like Nelson, she sells her art at local markets as well as Etsy. Stallings says the Etsy fur ban discriminates against Native artists who rely on fur to make money and treat animals with respect, contrary to what the ban tries to prevent.
Historically, there's been a lot of shame put onto certain parts of our lives, like our language, and now it's fur. We don't disrespect animals whatsoever. In fact, we have the highest regard for animals, and this is our way of cherishing the animal's life.
On Etsy, Stallings often takes custom orders, sometimes to account for customers' allergies, and sometimes to make something unique for special occasions like weddings, anniversaries, and graduations.
I just did one this year that went to Georgia. She messaged me on Etsy and said, can you do a custom order of coyote fur pom-pom earrings, but make them really, really big?
When Stallings was small, she was a part of her father's indigenous dance group, Miracle Drummers and Dancers. She remembers performing in the Anchorage Native Heritage Center to a crowd of tourists from China, Australia, and other countries. Between the performances, she would sit with her mom at a table, selling earrings and talking to guests.
Earrings were the one thing that we were able to share with people. I really love that, being able to connect to people from everywhere. It's unifying.
Stallings says that she originally felt a lot of anger toward Etsy for its new policy. But now, she hopes the ban can motivate Indigenous artists to come together and create their own platform that sells traditional art on their terms. In Anchorage, I'm Alena Naidin.
This is KYUK News. I'm Evan Erickson. Koyana for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. You can email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for Yuktun Ganumjik coming up.